talking NBA basketball, one of the best who covers it day in and day out. He does it for Bleacher Report. Therefore, he's in Charlotte this weekend. Howard Beck joins us here on The Fan. How are you, Howard?
Doing great, Jody. How are you?
Good. My pleasure. How many points would you feel comfortable spotting Dr. Oz in a one-on-one contest?
I did not watch the game last night, so I'm just gonna assume that you were not impressed by Dr. Oz.
The All-Star celebrity game is, I guess, it's goofy fun, but it really doesn't hold weight with me.
Yeah. I have no interest in Friday night. I never do. I wasn't there last night. I don't know I've ever gone.
Not to the Rising Stars Challenge either?
No. No. Why? It's a worse version of the Sunday All-Star Game. There's even less attention paid to actual basketball. It's just running around. I have no interest.
See, now I'll disagree with you there because I'm stupid enough to watch all this junk. In years gone by, the younger guys haven't become as jaded. They've actually played a little, and that's all I'm going to say is a little defense. Last night it was absolutely All-Star Sunday worthy of the lack of defense in the game. It is, for me, it has transformed a little bit and gotten more like the big showdown on Sunday. Nobody played any defense last night. And you know who I felt really bad for? I said this at the start of the show today, was Jared Allen. Because he's in the game, and his strength is all about rebounding and blocking shots. And they don't really, nobody blocks any shots. And rebounding isn't all that important because it's all baskets, and you're just taking it out of the net thereafter and handing it back in. He was like a lost soul in last night's game.
Yeah, listen, it's fine. It's not a basketball game. And so I just, you know, it's not indicative of anything. Whoever wins MVP, it doesn't mean anything for their career. You can go back through the list of guys who have played well in that game, won the MVP of the rookie soft game back when it was that. Whatever the label is, it's not. I just don't find it compelling.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
All right, well, out of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, what is compelling?
It's All-Star Weekend. It's all just exhibitions. This is my 17th, so, you know, pardon me if I'm a little bit jaded about the events themselves. I'm curious to see if they can revive the dunk contest again, because last year's was pretty overall dull. I mean, it was fine. Donovan Mitchell was good, and, Larry Nance Jr. with a tribute to his dad was good, and it was fine, but, it's hard when the bar is set so high, so a year like, you know, if you want to go all the way back to MJ and Dominique, or if you want to go Vince Carter in 2000, but even more recently, Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine was just epic and dunks that we'd never seen and may never see again. And then you usually get a few lean years and we all write it off and say it's dead. We're in that lull again, waiting to see if this thing is going to get interesting again. So the 3-point contest will be fun. The All-Star game itself, again, it's barely compelling. They tried harder last year, so that was good. We'll see what they do tomorrow.
All right, and the slam dunk, as you noted, is a bunch of young guys. It's just the young up-and-coming stars, and they use it as their platform to widen their own brand and the like. So I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball and tell me, a year from now, when you're in attendance, which, by the way, where's the All-Star game next year?
I think next year is Chicago.
Chicago, okay. In Chicago next year on All-Star Saturday night, will Zion Williamson be in the dunking contest?
Oh, man, never too early to draft him, I guess, for that. Assuming that he's healthy wherever he's playing, I can't imagine why he wouldn't be. That seems like an automatic. Now, it's up to the player, obviously. I have little doubt that the league will invite him the second he's actually in the league, which, you know, draft night, that might be the first question right after he pulls the hat on for whichever team. You know, how you feel about playing for Team X? And then, by the way, are you going to be in the
dunk contest? Are you going to be in the slam dunk contest? Yes, I'll be the guy to ask that question if I can make the draft this year. I think it's one worth asking. All right, last week they had the draft of the players for the All-Star game between LeBron and Giannis. And, oh, by the way, LeBron used it as a recruiting list and took every player as a reserve and or a starter that's going to be a free agent during this offseason that he can spend some quality time with and extol the virtues of Los Angeles that going to work for LeBron this weekend?
Listen, if guys want to talk to each other about joining up, recruiting each other, they can do it whether they're on the same team, opposite teams. You know, it's not like they're paying that much attention to guarding each other during the game. They could have conversations throughout. And besides that, you know, they're at a lot of events together over the weekend. He didn't need to draft pending free agent stars to recruit them. They've got, you know, there's also, you know, texting, phone calls, email, Instagram, instant messaging. I mean, he didn't need to draft guys to get them on his, you know, to try to recruit them.
You're probably right, but I just thought it was absolutely hilarious that if you go down the list in the order of those who selected, the only one who wasn't a free agent was Anthony Davis out of his top seven picks. And, oh, by the way, we already know the kind of play they've made for Anthony Davis. I know I asked you this when we spoke last about Anthony Davis and getting the fine for making his request for a trade public, and it's right there in the rules, and the NBA was within their rights to fine him, so they did. He's now also dropping hints about places that he may eventually want to take his next stop in his career. Is he going to get fined again?
I'm very curious about that. So today at the media session, he, you know, basically confirmed that a list existed, confirmed that the Knicks and Lakers were on it, I think confirmed that the Bucks were on it, and then later kind of backtracked when he went on NBA TV, and he just said there's 29 teams. And I think that was his way of trying to tamp it down again, but I think you can't walk that back. He's made it clear that there's a list, and it's not 29 teams, and if you're the NBA, you now have to examine, is this a reiteration of his trade request that you're not supposed to make publicly? Do they just let this one pass because, you know, is there any point to punishing him again? Is there double jeopardy? I don't know. You know what? It's already out there. This is the thing. I understand why the league doesn't want public trade requests. You can make them in private. You can make it to the team. You can leak it anonymously and still evade a fine. But you know, they don't want it to be a show. They don't want it to undermine teams and all this. But it's already undermined. The Pelicans are you know, a chemistry disaster because of this. And his insisting on playing for the rest of the season is just exacerbating it all. I don't know what the point of it is at this point. Just, you know, let him fade away for a couple of months, and they'll trade him in the off season, and everybody can move on.
Howard Becker, Bleacher Report, our guest here on The Fan. All right, Howard, as of right now, the Lakers are outside of the playoffs looking in. How important is it for the short-term and long-term future of the Lakers for them to make the playoffs this year, so when they go on their recruiting tour, and it'll be LeBron and Magic and Pelinka and everyone else, that they at least made the playoffs? Does it change the narrative at all if they don't even make the playoffs this year?
I don't think them making the playoffs is important because it will somehow encourage guys to go there. Guys are going to go there to play with LeBron if that's what's attractive to them. They will go there because they like the progress that Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram are making. You know, there'll be other reasons to go there. You don't need to know that they're on the right path. They have LeBron James. They're on the right path. If they miss the playoffs, it'll probably be a pretty close call. I think they need to make the playoffs just because having LeBron and not making the playoffs feels catastrophic. It feels like a really bad first step in year one of this partnership between LeBron and the Lakers. It's just bad optics, and especially in L.A. where it's always championship or bust, and the pressure, the heat on Luke Walton is already intense. And, you know, that heat is eventually going to be focused on the front office too, because, frankly, they haven't exactly done a bang-up job in year one of getting LeBron the right help. And, you know, the Anthony Davis situation has backfired on them, as it's backfired on just about everybody involved so far. So, you know, I don't know that it's essential to make the playoffs for the future. It's more just to make it clear that for their own purposes, that they can feel calm about the path that they're on and know that they're getting there. But I mean, look, this season was always going to be about, will the young guys take a step up, enough of a step up? So far, no. Can they get a second star somewhere along the way? No. And so now it's to this next off season. You knew that LeBron by himself was never going to be enough, but you did think it was probably enough to make the playoffs. But the West is really tough now, and so you know, LeBron missing a month of the season obviously didn't help.
You got that right. Howard Beck from Bleacher Report, our guest here on The Fan. All right, Knicks specific question. We know they're going nowhere fast. They're going to finish with the worst record or the second worst record or the third worst record, which means they get the same number of ping pong balls. Doesn't matter. If they jump up more than that, A, I'll be surprised. B, will it be a mistake?
Will what be a mistake?
If they actually get out of the top three and just take their chances with lesser ping pong balls.
You know, listen, there's a bunch of stuff going on here. I mean, one is that, you know, whether you're worst record, second worst, third worst, when you're a top three, it's the same, you know, 14.4% chance. And so it, within that, there's not that big of an issue. But yeah, falling to fourth, and all of a sudden I think you're down to, what, 12%? It's only a couple percent less, and then I think it goes down to 10. So there's not a massive gap. And look, every percentage point matters, I suppose. Every ping pong ball matters, I suppose. It's more about how much further you can fall. If you're the worst record and you're slotted first, the farthest you could fall, I think, is fifth. And if you're second, now you can fall to sixth.
Right.
And you know, so that's where the more jeopardy comes in. But that only matters if you think it's a three-man draft and you don't want to fall to fourth or below. This is not even considered that. This is considered a one-man draft right now. And look, those impressions change, and scouts will reassess along the way. But right now, it's Zion and everybody else. And, you know, that's the way scouts have framed it, to me at least. And by the way, there are plenty of scouts who also aren't sold on LeBron, or excuse me, on Zion entirely. This should not be for the Knicks or anybody else. This should not be all about, oh, you have to get Zion or else. He's not guaranteed. The rest of that class isn't guaranteed. We'll see where it falls. But the point of redoing the odds and changing the odds to lessen the incentive was so that teams wouldn't be just jockeying for position. They still kind of seem to be, and I'm not sure it actually makes any sense given how little anything is it's not guaranteeing you anything.
All right, then along those lines, if it's not that big a difference to finish with the worst record or the fifth worst record, 14.4%, 10%, whatever it is, how important are these last 20-plus games for the Knicks? Because we continue to hear about from Fizdale, we're creating a culture. Well, their created culture lost 18 in a row. And I'm sorry, I don't see how that can be culture building going off on a franchise record losing streak. How much do they need to accomplish here in the last 20 games to at least get that new culture rolling? And I won't even say running, I'll just say rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, listen, this is not to criticize Fizdale or anyone else. I don't think the Knicks can make the case that they've established anything. I mean, I don't know if there's a culture they're trying to establish, what is it? I don't know what it is. They've changed over the roster so much. They've jettisoned all the, you know, or most of the veterans. They're obviously not trying that hard to win structurally. You know, that's not to say that the players aren't. The players always are. The coaches are. Structurally, they have set themselves up not to win. That's very, very clear. That's what we call tanking. And to be tanking and talking about establishing culture at the same time is kind of a contradiction in terms.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, the Nets over the last few years have established a culture. Granted, it was easier to do that and compete as hard as possible and do whatever you can because there was no incentive to lose. They didn't have their picks. So it was a cleaner process. But there was no question year to year what Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson were doing. And you could see it take shape. You could see the kind of offense that they were running, that they were really going with a new age and, you know, analytics-driven offense of trying to emphasize shots at the rim and three-pointers, even when they didn't have a lot of guys who could make layups and three-pointers. They were doing it because they knew that as they added talent, that was the structure that they wanted. They played hard. They played defense. They passed the ball. They weren't that good, but they overachieved each year and are doing it again. That is establishing a culture. I don't know what the Knicks have or even can establish, given that, you know, you've traded your franchise star, who obviously wasn't playing, but still, you've traded the best player you had. You've gone through, I don't know how many players this season. You had a 17-game losing streak that was the worst in franchise history. I don't know how that's telegraphing anything positive to anyone, including the superstars that they're trying to lure. But it may not matter. Guys may just want to come just because it's the Knicks in the Garden.
Last thing on not the Knicks and the Garden and the free agents and the first pick in the draft, but of the group they have right now and the guys they're putting on audition, I've actually been a little impressed by Kadeem Allen. I'm not going to say that he's a starting NBA guard on a playoff-bound team, but he at least looks like a guy who can contribute on a good team coming off the bench. Have you seen what I've seen? You like what you see out of Allen? Is there anyone else on the Knicks that you had mentioned that weren't there last year or first time ever getting significant minutes in the NBA that have opened your eyes?
Look, I think it's fair to say that a bunch of these guys have impressed at times and have shown some promise, whether it's Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, typical up-and-down rookie season. And then Kadeem Allen, to your point, yeah, I mean, he's been a lot of fun to watch, too. He's impressed people, and Alonzo Trier's impressed people around the league. Damian Dotson's had his moments. So there's a bunch of pieces. I don't know how they all fit or whether they fit or whether they stay. And, you know, look, we also see these flashes sometimes from guys when they get opportunities on losing teams and they put up numbers, and then, you know, the team gets better or they move on somewhere else and you barely hear about them again. I mean, I remember, you know, it was just a year and a half or so ago that Nets fans were apoplectic that they let Yogi Ferrell go to keep Spencer Dinwiddie, and that proved by a long shot to be the right move. You don't know if guys are going to sustain it or not. So yeah, some of the young Knicks have shown some promise. They might be role players on an eventual 2-superstar team if they get their dream scenario this summer. But, you know, are do they have building blocks, foundational type pieces? I mean, we don't know that yet. And that goes for Dennis Smith Jr. too. It's, you know, the jury is way out on him.
Howard, always a pleasure, my friend. You always bring insight whenever you hop on. Enjoy the rest of the weekend in Charlotte, bud.
Absolutely, Jody. Thanks for having me.